Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is not the first time I've actually been here. Some years ago, when I was the supervisor of the adjacent district, known as District 5, where I was elected before I became the elected sheriff, I had come by to this amazing, really beautiful church. And so it's nice to be before you here again. And one of the reasons I had visited with you is what was part of the normal practice that I did as a supervisor, and that is on weekends I would travel, really walk, that is, to all the churches and the places of faith, because I thought it was part of my mission as an elected representative to share with you and to listen to folks what was on people's minds. And I grew up with that orientation from a very interfaith community. You may not know a lot about me, except at times what you might read in the newspaper. And what you may have not read is that my father was Muslim, he's passed, Iranian, and my mother a Russian Jew. And that in itself had created a number of internal conflicts for both sides of the family, so they reconciled their differences by sending me to Jesuit schools. It was through that spirit of growing up with two very public service-oriented parents and having a very interfaith household that corresponded with my sort of growth in reaching out to all faiths, in working with them in the normal democratic process of being, you know, an elected representative. And I've carried that forward with me in my capacity as sheriff. Now, when I first became sheriff, despite a very horrible start, I reached out to the interfaith leaders around San Francisco, and I said, we want to have an interfaith summit. And over 100 had attended, first time ever in the history of the Sheriff's Department, at least modern history of the last 50 years. And the purpose of that is that I knew for many years, just like I've known in my upbringing, that it was the church, the faith community, that really has been doing some of the most amazing work in the most unsung way, unnoticed way, in the churches, in the jails themselves, and outside the jails. And I've always been very impressed with the faith community's work of probably some of the most disenfranchised or most challenging or complicated populations that continue to find themselves incarcerated or soon to be incarcerated. And so I wanted us to coordinate more closely, and that was the purpose of the summit. And it really set us on a tone over the last 3 years where many of you may not even know, it's not getting really written about, that San Francisco jail system is now the most undercrowded jail system per capita in the United States. Our population is plummeting. Unlike any other county in the state of California or in the country. And this amid what is known as state prisoner realignment, when 4 years ago the high courts and Governor Brown insisted that state prisons be thinned out because of the failure of them not addressing recidivism and overcrowding conditions, that the prison population be returned back to the 58 counties. And I was a supervisor then in San Francisco, and I helped write the plan for what was known as realignment to prepare the city for the incoming prisoners. All prediction from all sides of the political spectrum predicted doom and gloom. Crime would certainly exceed, we'd be back in overcrowding conditions. And we've defied those odds in such ways where criminologists from all sides are really visiting San Francisco to find out why. Not that I think we've found any kind of cure-all, but we like the indicators for the first time that I think the criminal justice system is being able to track a direction other than the fact that we're just perpetuating failure. Our recidivism rates, repeat offender rates, that have remained unchanged for nearly two decades before I came into office, have now dropped by over 20%. And that, in a criminal justice system that is very inflexible in this country, is beginning to now warm up to some change. Because if we can put people that are not safety risks, alternative to incarceration, like on diversion programs, and really put a large emphasis, which I think is important to you as it is to my administration, on families, especially families for reintegration, where children of the incarcerated are allowed to be, you know, brought back together while the person who violated the law is being held accountable without having to them be incarcerated through one of our diversion programs. We really are finding great success. And to the point now where other counties who used to kind of think that what we do in San Francisco is a little too San Francisco, hippy-dippy, bohemian, or whatever, they're now taking on our tactics and our strategies. And here's one example. The brainchild of my predecessor, Sheriff Mike Hennessy, created the first charter high school in the United States built into our jail system. It's now about 11 years old. We graduate a great many of people. It's not a GED, it's a full-on high school diploma, first of its kind, and we have now established under my administration satellite centers around the city, mostly in the southeast sector, south part of San Francisco, so that if they don't finish before they are released, they can continue to, and we've made it a subject to a completion of their probation, that they must complete what they start with us in order to successfully complete probation. That linchpin has never been established before. But now the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, which is the largest municipal county jail system in the United States, and I'm told it's actually the largest municipal county jail system on the planet, which has over 20,000 people incarcerated in Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, compared to us, where our population is less than 1,200 here in San Francisco, has just now adopted our high school. And so the previous sheriff, I insisted, well, you've got to, you know, keep our name in order to make this happen. So it's certainly uplifting to go to L.A., and they have the San Francisco Sheriff's Department five-piece charter high school just to keep the Giants-Dodgers rivalry going. And it makes me feel good that we're keeping true to the cause. But it is notable that here you have an institution, another part of the state, where we're skill sharing. I think our lessons learned of what's working and what is not. And I think it's important for community to know whether these are strategies born within your own city or there are strategies that we are bringing in. It's important you see how the criminal justice system is evolving. None of that erases the frustration that you may have and I used to and still have to engage in by the constant breaking of car windows and the lack of police response. Police, not sheriff. Response. And the feeling unsafe, which quite frankly, whether one is wealthy or one is poor, my philosophy is that it's a civil liberty and nobody should feel unsafe no matter what neighborhood you come from. And I think it is our duty as public servants and in law enforcement to do everything we can to exercise levels of community policing that attend to all communities. So none of those frustrations go away, but we watch very carefully, correspondingly, if there's any uptick in crime resulting from our population, people that might be carouseling in, or now then being released. And we watch that carefully. And while there might be somebody who does repeat, it is happening a lot less. And the amazing thing is that it's happening in such rapid time over the last 3 years compared to the previous two decades of this sort of progress that it leaves us a little bit unsettled, hoping it's not just a fluke or just not a fad, but maybe something more permanent. And I think along the course, as we are working and studying this, that the people should know. Now, the difference is between a sheriff and a police chief is that in this country, the sheriffs are elected by the people. Police chiefs are all appointed by the people. So that underscores, I think, the purpose of a sheriff to really talk with the people, which is why I've been doing the rounds every Sunday for almost 3 years now, to really share people that this is what it means to be an elected sheriff. But we're different in San Francisco because we're the only city and county in the state of California. So one of the mainstay obligations that we have is You know, we take care of the jails, we protect government buildings, we assist the largest police department, I mean the largest law enforcement agencies, SFPD, we're the second, in public safety matters, and we do evictions. And evictions in every county and every corner of this country is conducted by the sheriffs. And they can be very complicated and they can be very unsafe. Sheriffs, deputies have lost their lives in the course of the commission of an eviction. So we created something called the Eviction Assistance Unit, and it's only unique to San Francisco compared to the other 58 counties. And the important thing is that while we are required to fulfill a court order, it's my belief that we're not, helping public safety by making more people homeless. And so by us trying to put a more sensitive aspect to deputies who carry the course of an eviction, training them to be able to do a little bit better intel that are we just about ready to evict families with children, young children, or people who are elderly, or people who might be significantly ill. If that's the case, then I feel some charge, not some, but I feel a charge to help those folks rebound or at least find alternatives before that they're put on the street, or else I'm not really fulfilling an obligation if the net result is carry out the eviction but make somebody homeless. And while we stay true to the letter of the law, I do believe as sheriff I have some discretion where, on behalf of an 83-year-old woman just 2 weeks ago who was being evicted and I couldn't get adult protective services to come because they're overwhelmed, to help put her under conservatorship because we were concerned she was not of sound mind entirely, but she was just being evicted. And it's not up to the plaintiffs, to have to attend to this particular person. But then I couldn't just go home at night thinking, what is to become of this person? And it's not enough just to take somebody and take them to SF General for a 72-hour psych evaluation, and then they're released, which is required by law, and then there's no plan after that. So it's this merry-go-round that, we're trying to figure out a role that we can play more assertively, but understanding, the limits of our reach at the same time. So I want to give you kind of a range of what we're up to. I believe that we're making inroads on so many levels with our population, but there's one population that I feel like as a city we're not rising to the standard where we need to, and that is people suffering with mental illness. I just don't think that the jail system, and I as sheriff, should think that the primary reflex of people that are suffering with mental illness means that we use our jails as a substitute for mental health asylums. I reject the proposition. But yet, because there is not an infrastructure, I think, well established to the degree that it needs to be in San Francisco, in certainly attending to somebody who's mentally ill or has a co-occurring substance abuse disorder, which is often concurrent, that they have to, stay accountable to the law, but certainly incarcerating them and doing so for maybe a short period of time or even a longer period of time, what have you, we're triaging people, and then they're going back out. We're a bit of like a MASH unit, if you remember the old show MASH. And I just have to report that I just don't think it's the effective way. And so I think it's time that San Francisco looks to figuring out an alternative model than just criminalizing those with mental illness or thinking that we, now that we've become the largest mental health provider of beds in the city, that is the express answer. And so I think that there's some collective responsibility of City Hall and the people to know what the realities are these days. And this is one big one that I'm very overt about. while we are certainly get to a place, of the lower jail population and seeing greater success, I think inside the jails and post-release programs outside, I have now written to the mayor a few times. He hasn't written back. In the sense that I believe that our department should help the San Francisco Police Department. I believe in community policing. I believe in foot patrols. I believe that we, if people want us, you know, law enforcement to ride buses, if people want more attention in the parks or on Treasure Island or in areas that are feeling just not getting the response that they want, then I think that the second largest law enforcement agency can really help step up and provide, I think, and augment where need be. But that's a larger discussion in City Hall, but one I think that could be helped propelled by the people of San Francisco. Because it's not always about having more staffing, it's about stepping back and looking at all the assets that are afforded to people to see how they can be well applied. So I'll stop there. I'm sorry my wife and son couldn't join us. The time of your service corresponds with his soccer, our son's soccer. Otherwise, they sometimes join me on these. So thank you so much. It's really wonderful to be back here, and thank you.